Danny Nelson, a Westmoreland welcome as he comes to preach the Word of God. Come on, church. Stand and give him a welcome. A standing ovation. We love you, Bishop. Hallelujah.
Thank you. You can be seated. It is such a thrill to be here with you this morning at Westmoreland. It's always a privilege to come here and to be in the presence of your pastor and the leadership and the people of this church. And I see so many in the congregation this morning that I know went to school with Warren. We were both a lot less spread out than what we are now. I guess that's the best way to put it. But anyway, it's been a long time, hasn't it, brother? And you were a lot younger looking. So was I. Okay. I saw you point your finger at me. So, amen. Amen. R.L., it's good to see you, brother. Always good to see you and Allison. And brother Ricky, where'd you go? Oh, he's back there. Darnell, it's good to see you. And so many other people that I know. I count it a privilege and an honor to be able to be here this morning. Myself and Brother Philip were talking before service. We got to talking about some Royal Ranger training. And that goes back a few years, too, to 1987, 1988, 1989. And we went through some training in Snowville, Virginia together, where we experienced hail, snow, tornado warnings, and rain, all in the same weekend. It was the early part of May in 1987, and Brother Philip, I think I'm right. I think I'm close on that date, 87 or 88. When I went to Culbreth Church in Falcon in 1986, I knew nothing about Rangers. I didn't even know they existed. When I got there, they had a fledgling group that had just started. They had a Boy Scouts troop, but they had changed over to Rangers. And they wanted their leaders to go through training. So I thought, Brother Jerry, like you told me earlier, that if I was going to be there and if I was going to support it, that I needed the training too, not knowing what I was getting into. But I got into it, and I enjoyed the lessons. I enjoyed the training. I even taught a class on Wednesday nights, took LTC, NTC, and ANTC, if any of you know what that means. I think it's changed a little bit now. But I went to my office earlier, and sometimes things that have happened in the past you tend to forget, and you sort of throw it away or you pack it up somewhere. But on one of my shelves, I have all of my Royal Ranger stuff, R.L. What was your handle in FCF? Laughing Bear, okay. But I had all of my books, and the one that I really cherish, I got the looking at it, is this one. This was my notepad from NTC. And I think before I get into my scripture this morning, which, by the way, is from Joshua chapter 24, if you want to turn there, I opened that book. Gary Cope was our commander that weekend. Fred Deaver was the senior scout. Art Webb was there also. I think Brother Philip may remember those names. I don't know what happened to Brother Fred. I think Brother Fred has gone on. I'm not sure. He passed away last year. But he was quite a leader and quite a character in the same breath. Now, to the Rangers that are here this morning, both present and past, I just want to read you a couple of things that I wrote in my notepad. We were called the Fearless Bobcats. That was our patrol of eight men. We were treated shamefully by Fred Deaver. He took pride in calling out special projects. And if there was one little thing wrong with your uniform, to show you up before everybody. Now, you may not appreciate that, but I didn't appreciate it then that much, but I do now. Because I realized what Royal Rangers put into my life at that time as a 34-year-old pastor. Learning the ropes of Royal Rangers. I will say to you this morning before I read my scripture, that I believe the Royal Rangers still has a vital place in the church. Just as girls' ministry, we celebrate that. We praise God for girls' ministry and all that that accomplishes in our church. But I believe the Royal Rangers has a vital place in the church. And I would say to Westmoreland and any other church that if you're considering something for young men and boys, consider Royal Rangers. Consider Royal Rangers. Now, in my pad, and I think it's necessary that I say just a few things. I have got an hour and a half to preach, right, brother? Okay. Parker's can wait. No, it won't wait but so long, I know. But I just wrote down, and my message is short. I'm not going to take advantage of your time. I want to talk to you this morning about things our young men and women, but our young men need to see in the church. The first thing that I wrote, honey, my wife sitting back there, was buy your wife flowers often. And that was men talking to men. But then there was a devotion. I can't remember who gave it, but this was to young men and boys. And it was taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 21. And it had three or four points. Number one was flee sinful things. Things that are calculated to destroy you. And I would say to you today, my friend, that the enemy, whether you're young or whether you're old, and his name is the devil, he is not a fictitious character. He is a living reality. But he's a liar. Remember that. But he is calculating to destroy you, whether you're young or old. Things that are seemingly harmless are things that are out and out seen for what they are. He is calculating and scheming to destroy you. Follow after righteousness. Follow after doing right. Follow after the principles of God's word. Fight the good fight of faith. Because we are in a struggle. If you are a born again child of God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a bullseye on you. Whether you're a young man or young woman or older person, there is a bullseye on you. And I would say to you today from this almost 40-year-old devotion, fight the good fight of faith. And the last one was lay hold on eternal life. And I had written here the image of a bulldog. We need a bulldog tenacity. Don't lose your grip. Make sure you're going to make it through Jesus Christ. That needs to be preached. I'm going to pull that out, R.L., and make me a sermon on that. I didn't even realize that was in there. But there's so much more I'd like to read to you this morning. But just to say to you that Royal Rangers is not something you just forget. If we leaders and trainers will do it right, what we teach them and what we show to them and what we model for them will not be forgotten. Even since I've been at church, if you know my son James, you know that he was in Royal Rangers. Yeah, you did, didn't you? We'll talk about that later. you taught him. His handle in FCF was Hot Hands. And I don't remember the story about that. It was something about starting a fire and it got away with him. I just can't remember. But he was a gold medal of achievement award winner in 1999. And I still have some in my possession because I'm a hoarder. I still have some of the things that he had for Royal Rangers in my possession. I would say to you today, my friend, brothers and sisters, that Royal Rangers is vital. It is important. We're going to dedicate the building a little while, the Lord willing. But for now, I just want to talk to you about three or four things that young men and boys, in fact, everybody that's younger in this church today needs to see in the life of those of us who are older. We come from different areas. Some of you have come from other states, as has already been stated. And you know the importance of Royal Rangers. I don't think you would have been here today and made the effort to be here and come in to commemorate this day if you didn't see the importance of Royal Rangers. I'd like for you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, and then I have a couple of other references. The other references, fellas, are Judges chapter 2 and 10, 2, 10, and Judges chapter 21, verse 25. There are three verses that I want to read. Joshua 24, 15, Judges chapter 2, verse 10, Judges chapter 21, verse 25, verse 25. It was approximately 6 years ago, my grandson Jackson, who is James' son, had his first day in kindergarten. And we took pictures of that. And I will not forget how I felt when he walked down the hallway at his school lugging that heavy backpack that was as big as he was. And how uncertain a look there was on his face. And I also remember the first couple of days when he would get off the school bus at our house because my wife kept him in the afternoon after school. And how when he got off that bus, how small a figure he was. And I can't help but remember how uncertain a world that he was thrust into when he got out into the school system. And how uncertain it was as he faced growing up. Because all of you young guys, maybe 10, maybe 9, maybe 8 years old, and maybe a little bit older, it is not a surprise that I would tell you that we're living in an uncertain world. I've heard on the news for the past couple of weeks over and over and over again, coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. The economy was going so well about a month and a half ago. And I don't know what effect the coronavirus is going to have because of all of the implications of manufacturing and people going back and forth from country to country. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. So we're living in an uncertain world, but not just coronavirus, but so many other things. We're living in an uncertain world. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, at the close of his ministry, Joshua had this to say to the Jewish people. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose you today whom you will serve. That's the New Living Translation. Choose you today whom you will serve. For every person that's in this room today, my challenge to you, if you hear nothing else that I say, is that you must choose who you're going to serve, whom you're going to serve, whether it is this world or the enemy whose name is the devil, or whether it is Jesus Christ. You have to make a choice if you haven't already. You must make a choice. And you say, I'm not going to make a choice today. By saying that, you make a choice. You must make a choice. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If ever there were a time for us parents and grandparents to show to our children, both young ladies and young men, that it is our decision, it is our determination that we're going to serve the Lord. That we've made up our mind, regardless of the consequences, regardless of the ridicule, regardless of the strange looks, as Christian people, we are making up our mind that we're going to serve God in an uncertain world. A very tragic verse, or the next two that I'm going to read, Judges chapter 2 and chapter 21. After that generation died, that is the generation of Joshua, whose verse I just read, After that generation, another generation grew up. And folks, I want you to be aware this morning that the young men and young women in this church are another generation. They're the ones coming behind us. Do we hold in our hands a baton to pass it on to them? Do we hold in our hands the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to pass on to them? Another generation grew up, but look at the next sad statement. Who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things He had done for Israel. More and more our people, our young people need to see those testimonies. They need to hear those testimonies and see those people that you brought up here this morning. They need to see, they need to hear, they need to experience what we have experienced. We can't just let them go into the school system or out into the secular world and expect them to know about Jesus Christ and following God and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They must see Him in our lives. We must model it in our lives. And last, in those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their eyes. I want to say to you today that in America, to a great degree, that's where we are. But it is time, beyond time, past time, for the church to stand out in our world, in our nation, and lift up Jesus Christ and let them see Him in our hearts. It's not just doing what seems right. It's doing right according to this book, the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a few moments. And then there's one more verse. You don't need to put it up on the screen, guys. I didn't give it to you. This is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm reading a lot of scripture because I'm just laying a lot of foundation for a 15-minute message. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. These are in the early days of the life of Samuel. You remember that story? That Samuel's mother, Hannah, prayed for a child. God gave her and her husband a child. And she said, I will dedicate him to God. So when he was born and when he was weaned, she took him to the temple. And she left him there in the temple under the leadership of Eli. And here's what it says. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel serve the Lord by assisting Eli. In those days, messages from the Lord were rare and visions were quite uncommon. All of those readings are from the New Living Translation. Perhaps King James is on the screen, but they're one and the same. Just a little bit difference in the wording. Messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. I need to say to you today in 1 Peter chapter 5, not going to read the scripture, that we are instructed, and I want to put a slash there, we are warned that we need to be alert, we need to be aware, we need to be super conscious, we need to be on our guard because our enemy, the adversary, the devil, is lurking, walking about, seeking any and all whom he can devour. Now, I know I've said a lot of negative things there, but I just want to talk about three or four things that our young men and boys, older people, listen to this, older people, they need to see in our lives and in our church. Amen. Now, our home is the basic training ground for our children. And so many times we fail. But I will say to you that when I think back, Philip, and I can think back, not way past 1987, I do remember that my home was the training ground, and I also remember that the church followed it up. It followed it up. First thing I want to say to you, church, to the older people, our young men and boys, our young women, they must hear the message of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must hear it. We value the word. One of the core values of the Pentecostal Holiness Church in the last several years, one of them was we value God's word. in a day, 2020, when the Word of God is discounted, when alternative living and alternative lifestyles are the order of the day, when all kinds of lifestyles we see, we must, Brother Jerry, we must, preachers of the gospel, we must, teachers, show our young people, our young men, the value of this Word. And it's not what secular society says, it's what the Word says. It's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. They cannot afford to hear a diluted, crossless, bloodless message. They must hear, young men and boys, I want you to know today, I know you're a preacher, those who stand behind here, I know they preach it, but I just want to add my 2 cents worth. They need to hear that the cross is the focal point of Christianity. They need to know that. That without the cross and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, without His sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, we have no salvation. We have no hope. They must hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not simply a feel-good or a display of entertainment. It's okay to have entertainment. It's okay to have fun. But at the center of it all, they must hear the gospel. Whether it's in a training session in Royal Rangers, whether it's one of our Bible lessons, and in the midst of all of our fun and games, they have to hear the message of the gospel. God help us, church, to be determined to show our young people, our young men and women, and all who come into our church, not just that we can have programs, not just that we can have this activity, but at the focal point of all that we do is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must hear that. They must hear the gospel preached and taught under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can prepare a sermon anytime, but it is the message of the gospel that they need to hear. It must be anointed. They must know that there is freedom from the power, the guilt, the domination, the penalty, and the shame of sin. You don't have to walk out this church. If you're a young man or a boy here today or whoever you are, you don't have to walk out the doors of this church under the dominion of sin. The chain can be broken. The spell can be broken. Amen. David said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." He put it another way in Psalms 119:89. He said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled." Hallelujah. It is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of my word will pass away. Not one I dotted nor T crossed. His word is forever." Hallelujah. Praise God. In a world where in America, secular America today, where we hear so much about faith, 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 people's faith. My faith has done this. My faith has done that. There is only one true faith, and that is the faith in Christianity, in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are the religions that people follow after, but there is only one true religion. It is in Jesus Christ and in none other. It is through and by His Word. Praise God. It is not open for debate. It's not open for debate. We value this book. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. They must hear the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. So I just want to challenge again. I know you're probably doing this, but I just want to again add my 2 cents worth to every Royal Rangers leader, both past and present. I challenge you to give to your young men and boys the plan of salvation and show them Jesus Christ in your walk and in your talk. Secondly, got to hurry on. My 15 minutes is almost up. They must see the reality of changed lives in us. I want to say to you, if anybody can pick out a hypocrite, it's a young person. Amen. Because they see you when you're not even aware that people are looking at you. They must see the reality of changed lives. Our young people, young men and women, are looking for substance, not a show. Wow. They're looking for substance, not a show. Not religious ritual or going through the motions of religion. You know, us older folks, young people don't listen to what I'm going to say now. We older people, we can go through the motions anytime. Someone said the Holy Spirit could leave the church in some places and we wouldn't even know it for 6 months because we're so used to the motion. We're so used to the ritual. We're so used to two songs and taking the offering. Or someone said I could sit at home and look at my clock and tell you what's going on in church. Amen. That's sad, isn't it? I want to tell you, I remember what Ron Carpenter Sr. said many years ago. He said, when the Holy Ghost is in charge, all he wants us to do is set the sail and let him blow. Yeah. Amen. Set the sail and let him blow. They want to see the reality of saved, sanctified, spirit-filled lives. We say we are saved. We say we are sanctified or being separated from the world. Well, let our young people see it in our lives. They want something that's real. They want something that they can latch on to. They don't want to hear our words. They want to see godly living. Paul said to the Roman church, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One of my Bible teachers said many years ago, Warren, Dr. Beecham said, what more can you give than a given life? What less can you give than a given life? Hallelujah. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Jesus said, we are salt and light to change the world. And so I say to every leader, I say to every person in this church, as it regards our young people, but today especially our young men, both younger and older in that age group, we need to show to them salt and light. Amen. We need to show them the light of the gospel, the light of a godly life. We need to show that to them. Thirdly, they must hear our testimonies. Glad you brought those people up this morning, brother. They must hear our witness. It was another apostle, the apostle Peter, who said in 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When I look across this world today, when I look across America and see the spiritual condition that this nation is in, I could easily lose hope. But Brother Ricky, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, God, help us as older people to show our young people a real life testimony that this thing works. I didn't say there's never a pain. I didn't say there's never a trial. I didn't say there's never a temptation. But I said this thing, this book works. It works. It works. Praise God. They must hear our testimonies. I think it's good, even in the present day church, with all of our tapestry and with all of our programs, I think it's good every once in a while to do what you did and other churches are doing. Just bring up a few people and let them give a testimony. Younger and older, give a testimony of what God is doing and has done in their lives. I'm telling you, this thing works. Praise God. They must hear our testimony. They must experience our witness. We need to tell them that Jesus saves. We must tell them that Jesus loves them and back it up by our godly living. If not, we need to repent. Go back to the altar ourselves and say, Lord, I'm not just here to go through the ritual or the ceremony or the rites or this or one, two, and three of Christian service. I am here to be a bright and shining light to people who are coming after me so that when I reach out with the baton, I can give it to young people who are ready to follow in our footsteps. Can I say to you today, Christians, older people, young people don't hear this, don't listen to this again. Older people, I want you to know they're following after you and they are mimicking you. Many years ago, I can't even remember how long it was. It must have been in the late 70s. There was a TV commercial, and the TV commercial was anti-cigarette smoking, which is great. But it had an older man, the father, and he was going about his duties. And he was washing the car and going through some antics, and his little son, maybe 4 or 5 years old, was following in his footsteps. You know how it is, older men, when you used to try to follow. If you were fortunate enough to have a godly father, you would follow in their footsteps. You would try to do what they did. I remember going hunting with my father, and I would try to keep up with him in his footsteps, but he was a little bit taller than I was, and he would leave me behind, but I would still try to follow in his footsteps, not only in that, but in other things. But in this commercial, this father, the storyline was the young boy, 4 or 5 years old, was trying to follow his father. The late scene in that advertisement was the father sat down beside the car, and he pulled out his pack. And he laid it beside him, and he put one in his mouth, and he started smoking. And the picture was the little boy looked down that pack of cigarettes, and he started to reach for it. He was mimicking his father. I want you to know, older folks, that our kids are mimicking us. Sometimes we make the statement, what is this younger generation coming to? Well, a lot of it is because of us. Amen. You can say amen if you want to. It doesn't matter. It's still the truth. A lot of what they're doing today, even though it's a different age and they're doing different things, they're just mimicking us. They must hear the testimonies and see the witness of us older people. Remember that, Royal Ranger Commanders, and remember that, people in this church. They must have examples. The last thing, see, I'm almost done. The last thing is, this is probably goes in with all the rest of the three, but it goes into, in my thinking, as one of the most important, if not the most important. They must see the example of a praying church. They must see the example of a praying church. They must see victorious Christian living and service, but add to that, they must see the altar used. Now, I know our greatest altar is at home, is our private altar. And yet I'm telling you, one of my great recollections when I was growing up, when I didn't know anything about Royal Rangers, is older people going to the altar, and I'd be pulled right along with them. You're not going to sit back there and cut up. You're going to come to the altar. Now, I don't know that. I'll just stop there. But anyway, but I was. Didn't appreciate it then. But I can tell you today, I appreciate it now, because I know, I see, I understand, I'm all in with the vitality and the necessity of a praying church. They must see the altar used. Listen to this. They must see the gifts of the Spirit displayed. We talk about it. We read about it. We talk about gifts of the Spirit. But our young people need to see it. Amen. They may not understand it, but they need to see it out of saved and sanctified and Spirit-filled lives. They need to see the gifts of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church and in our lives, inside the church and outside. We wonder today, where is the younger generation? Well, if they would see, if they would experience, if they would get a better understanding of the Word of God being taught and changed lives and testimonies and the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our church, Maybe we wouldn't say so often, what's the younger generation coming to? Amen. That's good preaching, whether you amen it or not. They must see the altar used. Brother Jerry, I know that's not a problem here. But I go into some churches, even to some Pentecostal Holiness churches, just as a visitor. And I know that you can overplay things. But I go into some churches, and all I hear is just a sermon, and then we dismiss and go home. I don't hear altar calls. I don't hear requests for people to come to the altar to be prayed for. I can tell you today, my friend, whether it's a build-up altar or whether it's an altar in this fashion or whether there's nothing here, there needs to be a time of altar prayer and congregate prayer of the people. We need that, Brother Jerry. We need that, and our young people need to see it. They need to see it. One of the things that really impressed me about my wife's home church when we were still dating is that when they had prayer time, those people, they went to the altar and they didn't kneel down, and about the time their knees hit the floor, they got up and went back to their seats. I know you can do a lot in a minute. But they prayed and they sought God. And I can tell you today where some of them knelt. I can in my mind see where they knelt. And I can see people even in my own home church, which is not too far from here, where they would go and kneel at the altar. And they would call on the name of God. And they would take the word of God. And they would let it apply to their lives. Our young people need to see people praying. A church praying. The gifts of the Spirit in operation, being manifested. They need to see the altar being used. Yes, not just something that people fight over. Did you know that some people fight over whether there ought to be a built-up altar in the church or not? And those same people don't even use it. They don't even go to it. They just talk about it. They just fuss about it. Church, our young people see that. Amen. Whether it's built up across here, or whether it's down like this, this is an altar area. And we need, our young people need to see it. The laying on of hands by the elders. Anointing with oil. They need to see that. Amen. They don't need just to read about it in James chapter 5. They need to see it happening. They must have ownership. Not simply mom and daddy's religion. Mom and daddy were good people. My mom and daddy were good people. They brought me to church when I didn't want to go. They made me do things I didn't want to do. They made me start paying tithes when I didn't want to start paying tithes. I didn't even appreciate it. But I can tell you today, to the older people in this church, you need to model Christian living. They need to have ownership. They need to be able to say, it's not simply mom and daddy's church, it's my church. And I'm not just talking about the structure and a group of people called Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church or whatever church you represent. They need to know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and my local location, it is my church. I'm a part of it. I have seen the messages. I have heard the word. I have seen the holy life. I have seen the altar call. And I'm a part of this. It is a part of me. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. What the people showed and what the people taught proved to me, younger people will say, this is my church. You know, the church growth leaders say that when you can get people quit saying that church and it becomes my church, something's taking place in their lives. Older people today, I want you to know, those young people are living in an uncertain world. I could say today to the young men in this church and young women that I know what you're going through, but I don't. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. I don't know what's facing you and your secular surroundings. I don't know. Because I came up a long time ago, Warren, just like you. 50 years ago. Might be longer than that. I don't know. I came up 55, 60 years ago. And my surroundings in school and my secular surroundings weren't really that bad. It's changed today. And more than ever before, older people, They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not just talking about Jerry Nelson preaching it up here. They need to hear the gospel in Sunday school. They need to hear the gospel from your mouth. They need to hear the gospel. I started to read this morning, but I didn't, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 11, where the Lord said, you are to train, you are to teach, when they lay down, when they get up, when they go in, when they go out, your children, my word. They don't just absorb it. It's got to be put into them. David said, your word have I hidden. I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And our young people in other surroundings, they are not hearing the word of God. They are not being taught the word of God. I challenge you, ranger commanders and church leaders and church people, whoever you are, to train, teach, put it in their hearts. They may not appreciate it. I didn't always appreciate it. But praise God, I appreciate it today because it is my foundation. It is what I'm built on. And please remember, older people, there are young men in this church. There are boys that come into your Royal Rangers. They don't have a Christian home surrounding. And so that really mounts on us the responsibility, pastor and teachers and leaders and church people. We need to put it into them. Brother Ricky, could you come up, please? Hallelujah. Anything that's appropriate, brother. When I went to Culbreth Church in 1986, we remodeled the upstairs and we made it a ranger gathering place, which was probably not the wisest thing in the world on Wednesday nights, because while we were doing Bible study, us godly saints down underneath, upstairs they were doing ranger stuff. One Wednesday night, I distinctly remember, I don't remember who said it, it's probably good I don't remember who said it. Somebody said, what are we going to do about all them boys running up and down upstairs? All you could hear. And I said, that's music to me. I said, you think about what it would be like if you didn't have any. You'd be a dead, dying church. Amen. That's good preaching too. Sometimes some of you older people may think, well, what are these rangers doing? What are these girls' ministry participants doing? Because we don't quite understand. There's a time for recreation. There's a time for fun and games. And then there's a time for the Word. And the word being taught to them in a lesson may even involve activity and more of this. But can I tell you, I praise God for older people when I was coming up that put the word into me. I remember Mrs. Estelle Hazel. Don't mean a thing to you. I remember Miss Peel. I remember Mr. Buddy. We didn't have rangers, but we had youth activities. And they had in their hearts a desire to reach, in their case, young men and women. And you do here too, but today, particularly young men, they had a desire to reach us for Christ. Amen. I didn't appreciate it all that I should have then. But I didn't realize, brother, they were putting something into me. I didn't even realize what it was. They were pouring something into me. They were pouring by the Holy Spirit because they were Holy Ghost. I remember Miss Estelle. You older folks don't even remember this. I remember her shouting. Amen. Pentecostal Holy Ghost shouting. And shouting her hair down. I remember that. The old bobby pins. She didn't care who watched. Didn't matter to her. She was decent and in order. But to the world, she was a crazy person. Amen. But she was a Sunday school teacher. And she challenged me to read the Bible. Until a few years ago, I had a little cedar chest with a little Bible in it that she gave me because I read the most chapters. Don't know how much Miss Edna I retained. But what I'm trying to say is, older people, our young people need to hear the gospel. It needs to be taught to them. They need to be taught about the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His atoning death for our sins. They need to know they don't have to bear the burden for their sins. Jesus bore it at Calvary. Glory to God. They need to know that they don't face hell. Not really a curse word. It's reality. They have heaven to look forward to because of the shed blood and their receiving of that provision for their salvation. They need to hear testimonies. They need to see godly lives. So older people, Danny, I'm talking to you now, Danny. When you're out in the public, when you're around younger people, man, you need to watch how you live and watch what you say. Watch your attitude. Don't fall out with other Christians over nothing. You know, some of us Christians fall out with other Christians over nothing. Doesn't amount to a row of beans or an anthill. We need to know that there are people watching us. Young people watching us. Watching us. Looking at our lives. Looking at our lives. Tracing our lives. We need to understand that. I want you to stand with me. I tried to be short, brother. I think I went over 15 minutes. You didn't give me 15 minutes, but you gave me all I wanted. But I'm here to tell you today, young people, young men, young boys, you may be a part of Rangers or you may not be. But all that Royal Rangers is about is training you, showing you the right way, introducing you to Jesus Christ and giving you the opportunity to accept Him as your Savior. Yeah, it's done here in church services too. But Rangers do the same thing. In my dealings with Rangers, we had young boys who had no church background. They didn't have a church. They were just brought by somebody else, and they came for the fun and games and put a hook in them. Put a hook in them. That's what Rangers is about. Putting a hook in young men, young boys, and training them in the way that they ought to go. Praise God. I would like, Brother Jerry, it's 5 to 12. Can I have an altar call? Okay. I want every present and past Royal Rangers commander to come and gather in front. Quick. You may not be now. You may be from somewhere else. Doesn't matter. I want you to come quickly. Anyone else? Kind of spread out a little bit, folks. Miss Edna, you look a whole lot better. Gentlemen and lady, I just want to say to you, I appreciate you and your service and your determination. Some of you are able to be more involved than others. I can understand that too. But I appreciate your service to Royal Rangers. Because really, you're in the service of the King. You're first of all a Christian. But you're also in service to the King through Royal Rangers. Other ways too, but today we're pinpointing Royal Rangers. And I want to say to you, God bless you. God bless you for those years of service. I wish I could have worn my uniform this morning too. My wife made some remark about, can you still get in yours? I passed it off. Now I want you to turn to this crowd, folks. I want every, what is the bottom age now? Is it 6? 5? 5. Okay. I want, and the first group includes girls too, don't they? No, that's not what y'all do. Okay, rainbow. Sorry. I want every young man here from the ages of 5 to 18, if you will, to come. And I want you to stand in front of these guys and ladies. Quickly, come on. Whether you're in uniform or not, I want you to come. And just to the turn and face these guys. I want you to turn and face these guys, Rangers, as you come. There you go. Thank you. Any others? Any that would like to be a Ranger? You want to come and face these guys? Amen. I don't know how many people have gone through Royal Rangers at Westmoreland Church and who are not here today. But my prayer is that we have made an impact on their lives that they will never, ever forget. That we've either brought them to Jesus Christ or we've helped them to grow in Jesus Christ. Because that's what Rangers is ultimately about. Developing young men and boys to be solid men for the cause of Christ. Now, one more thing. I want everybody that possibly can to come and gather around behind these Ranger young men. Come on. We're going to close at the altar. Brother Jerry, is that okay? We can close the prayer at the altar and you can give us instruction.
I give myself away. I give myself away.
It's really what Rangers do.
So you.
That's really what we do as Christians. We give ourselves away.
I give myself away.
What a powerful ministry Royal Rangers is. What a powerful ministry. Ranger commanders, I want you to lay your hand on one or two of these boys, and as we close in prayer, I want you to pray for them. And people that have come together, I want you to lay your hand on these young men and boys. And I want us to have a closing time of prayer for them, that God will anoint them and bless them. And if there's any one of them that don't know Jesus, that they will come to know Him today at this time. Father, in Jesus' name, we kneel before the throne of glory. We bow our hearts and our heads before You today. And we thank You for every Royal Ranger commander, both past and present, in the ministry of Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. We thank You for them and for their sacrifice. We thank You for their example. We thank You, Lord, for their commitment to young men and boys. Father, I pray today that You'd bless each one of these commanders. Bless them in their life and in their living. Oh, God, bless them both now and in eternity. And then, Father, I pray for every young boy here today, regardless of their age, regardless of whether they're participating or not. Lord, it is my prayer today that each one of them come to a saving knowledge. Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally as my Savior. And so I repent of my sins and I accept what You did at Calvary as the covering for my sins. I receive it in Jesus' name. Let every one of them have a saving knowledge of You today in this service. Not to walk out to the dedication or to any other activity until they've made a personal commitment or recommitment to the cause of Jesus Christ, to Your Lordship over our lives. We thank You for Your shed blood. We thank You, Lord, for Your sacrifice, for Your provision, for our salvation, of which I am unworthy and undeserving. I thank You for it, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I also pray for every person in this room today. We have a commitment to Rangers. We have a commitment to support them. We have a commitment to lift them up. We have a commitment to even financially support them, because this is a worth wild ministry. It is a worthwhile ministry. And I pray for every person in this room, regardless of where we are from, that we will make a personal commitment to support Rangers, whether here at Westmoreland or in our own locale, to support it for the cause of Christ. Help us, Lord, as the song is being played, I give myself away, either as a commander, either as a young boy or young man, or as a participant, as a body of Christ, I give myself away to the cause of Royal Rangers. Because, Lord, it's a part of Your kingdom. It's a part of Your kingdom. I praise Your name for that, Lord. And I praise your name for a pastor, Brother Jerry Nelson, and even those before him, but Brother Jerry Nelson, who supports Royal Rangers, who is a part of Royal Rangers, who sees the vitality and the possibilities of Royal Rangers. And oh God, I pray that your hand would be upon him and upon the leadership of this church and the Ranger commanders of this church to continue to give themselves away for your cause. I pray this, Lord, in your name. Lead us in that, brother.
So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Talk to the Lord.
I give myself away.
I want you to remain inside if you would. We have some more to do here, but just remain where you are. And if you have a special need today, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you come in and you need the Lord, or you need to rededicate your life, this is a perfect time for it. We're never in a hurry. We got other things to do, but your soul is the most important thing to us. Thank you, Bishop, for a powerful, dynamic presentation of the gospel. You've heard the gospel and the importance of it, how to live your life. I want to make a couple of announcements if you'd like to go in your seat.